Welcome back to the Munich Movie Club podcast. I'm John Kissel, and with me tonight is Shane Settner.
Yo.
And Drew Landry.
Hello.
What's up, motherfuckers? Sorry, that's my best
plan. No, solid. Here at the Munich Movie Club, we are a group of friends who randomly select free movies every month, and we write about them on our website, munichmovie.club, and then at the end of the month, we talk about them on this podcast that you are listening to right now. I said randomly, not random this last month. We wanted to do a franchise, and we landed somehow on Blade. I say somehow. Why am I?
Don't apologize. No. I should be the one apologizing. This is my fault.
We're going in opposite directions. I think this is a perfectly fine choice.
There's nothing
wrong with Blade. Blade, with one giant glaring exception, this is a perfectly acceptable franchise. Oddly important. There's stuff to talk about here.
There is.
Why am I discounting Blade just off the bat? Off the bat.
Because you're jealous of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
abs.
That's it. All
right.
And Doug Jones's face pieces. Why can't I have three cheeks or a bivalve jaw? I think so. No. I can't remember. Luke Goss. That's his name. Luke Goss.
Yeah, he's got a thousand bones like snakes. They explain that.
Yeah, that's how snakes' mouths work. I've seen a snake open its mouth before. So the first of the Blade trilogy is Blade from 1998.
Yeah.
Directed by Stephen Norrington, who would go on to direct three other movies, the last of which was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in 2006. That was his last movie, and it was Sean Connery's last movie. Do they have a suicide pact? Who knows? Initial thoughts on Blade, Shane.
I love Blade.
Yikes.
I love the opening of this movie. I love the music.
Oh, God.
I love that it's a comic book movie, and it is a good comic book movie. The CGI is so bad. And Steven Dorff fucking owns in this movie.
Drew, Blade.
I love the action. The story is, it's okay, but the action is what makes it. And Wesley Snipes, was this during or after or before some timeline with his financial troubles and him going to jail? I don't know, but I don't know if this helped it or caused it. I'm not quite sure of what that timeline looks like, but to me, what this showed is that Wesley Snipes is a fairly solid actor. So he can play a lot of roles, and Blade is the best one of the three.
Wow. Okay. A lot there. As far as the Snipes question, I want to say this is like the apex of his career. Not to get too the ringer on it, but
are you talking about the trilogy's apex or this
like this specifically?
Blade One.
Yes.
I think it's incorrect.
Do you? Okay.
Yes.
Please.
I think his apex is probably Blade Two or Blade Trinity.
It hasn't like the moment already passed by that point.
No.
Like a movie star at the peak of their powers is going to let Ryan Reynolds sneak into his movie.
No, I think if you look at the three of them, you see where's the most money gone. And I think the most money is spent on Blade Trinity.
I think that's probably true, yeah.
So I think the peak of his powers right there. Although this is the closest to White Man Can't Jump, which is his best movie.
Yeah, 1993. I've never seen it. I've seen pieces of it, but
what?
I've never seen it. All right.
Well, didn't Blade Two make the most money?
They're all pretty similar. They're all in like the 175 range.
Yeah, which
even the last one.
Probably Blade that means probably the most profit then, because that was obviously the most money for the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drew, have you seen White Men Can't Jump?
Yes.
Gotta be, yeah, I would have, yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Have you even seen this?
He's got like this, and he's got like New Jack City, and he's got, that was probably his breakout. He's done a lot of stuff with Spike Lee, earlier Spike Lee, like 80s Spike Lee. A couple of Michael Crichton's in there. I don't know what The Art of War is about.
Mm.
I think that predates this. I don't know. But he's like a macho kung fu type, like better than Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme, probably. Talent, like not physical talent, well, certainly more talented physically than Steven Seagal. Probably not as physically talented as Jean-Claude Van Damme, but definitely a better actor than both of them.
Well, I think he just is, I think he's such a freak athlete that he didn't grow up like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, he just learned how to do fucking karate from Blade.
Where did we land on him for Major League back in 2014? Was he like a...
Did he? He didn't help with baseball. Just like in...
didn't he run badly or something?
In White Men Can't Jump, he doesn't know how to play basketball.
Okay.
He has no idea how to play basketball. And they pulled it off in that movie enough to make it look like he can play basketball. Drew, would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
But as far as, but Major League also?
I think
I can't remember the conversation in that.
His swing was pretty nice, and I didn't really see how much of a problem he had running around. But with all the movies that he's done, it seems like he is very athletically inclined with all the martial art films that he's done. So I don't think him learning an extra tool would be difficult.
Yeah, I feel like he just looks cool doing shit.
Sure. Yes. Does he bring a martial arts background to his movies?
I don't know.
Okay, it's not just like all fight choreography. Like, I believe that Keanu Reeves might have some kind of training in Tai Chi or some kind of martial art or whatever.
Right.
They're certainly up to the level of like your Tony Jaa's and your Yuko Uwais from The Raid and like that level. But like Seagal pretends to be trained.
Well, Seagal is actually legitimately a black belt.
It's just hard to say anything positive about him.
Agreed.
Mm.
So my best guess on all of this, and as far as Wesley Snipes training, is he trained the shit out of everything to get this first movie, did a great job training for the second movie, and didn't train shit for the third movie.
Yeah, we'll get there.
And Jessica Biel trained for the third movie.
Yikes.
All right,
yikes.
That is my best guess.
My initial thoughts on Blade, this is just a very silly movie.
Fantastic movie.
It's not doing anything the best out of the three movies, I would say. That's a kind of a low ceiling, but it's not doing anything the worst either. This is a totally acceptable action movie, a totally acceptable superhero movie. We talked a lot about Snipes as like a credible physical actor. Do you guys think these movies at all are cognizant of having like a black man leading a major action franchise? Or was this like time in the 90s before it would have been acceptable for like the entertainment press the way it is now? Like Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings is coming out, and like every article that's going to be written about that is like, oh, what a huge leap it is for the Marvel Cinematic Unit, for this giant corporation and this giant subset of it to have a person of color in the lead. You just wouldn't, I don't think you would have got that writing in the time, but even without that, is there anything in the movie about like being an outlier, being a minority, anything like that? Or is Wesley Snipes just a cool guy? Is this like colorblind casting?
If I remember correctly, and maybe one of you two can correct me on this, is that I think Blade was in the comic books, I think he was black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they were trying to really relive. And he is a cool, he just looks cool. And answer your question, I think he's just a cool guy. And I think they were trying to really just reprise the comic book role and have it be that sort of a character. Mm-hmm. And looking for someone who would bring that gravitas and killer instinct is Wesley Snipes.
Do you guys even agree with my premise? It's not, I don't feel like these movies are self-congratulatory in the way that modern superhero movies are when they cast people of color.
Yes, I 100% agree with that.
Okay, great.
Having watched Captain Marvel for the second time this week, I had not watched it since I watched it in theater, which I love the theater experience. This week, it felt a little too self-congratulatory.
Sure.
Women power. And I don't like this. This is definitely, Blade is a product of the early to mid 90s hip hop. We don't see color, like we colorblind, right? Like that failed point of view.
And, I mean, if you like go back to that period of movies, you were getting like, there was I wouldn't even say a subset. You were getting like major mainstream movies cast with black cast, black leads.
Right.
And it just, kind of faded, I think, mid 2000s.
You had it, but then who was making the movies? Like white guys.
Yeah.
So, and who I don't know who's in charge of Amon-Ra Productions.
Stephen Norrington. Maybe not a black man.
No, definitely. I don't think it was him. Like he was a you know his background at all before he made this movie?
I do not.
He is a special effects guy. Like physical
Okay, yeah.
Which you can see in this movie, there's a lot of the CGI sucks in this movie. It's like
we'll talk about it.
It's Mortal Kombat bad.
We'll talk about it.
The other physical, like the special effects of that were good, but
generally speaking, yeah. I think I would agree with that.
So having a black lead, I don't think would have been. I don't recall it being weird then, but
not weird, but like notable.
I think it was notable. Well, I think the most notable part of all of this was a good comic book movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Period. Simple as that. Period. And it's not like just as they take over more and more of the culture, like there's only so many opportunities perhaps for people of color to like get on several thousand movie screens at once in a lead. So maybe if I'm being charitable, that's the most, if I'm being uncharitable, these corporations trying to whitewash through identity politics their otherwise monopolistic traits. But
well, speaking of whitewashing, like this movie doesn't whitewash shit. This movie is aggressively like this is a hard R.
Yes, also nice. That's fun. You're never going to see that out of Disney. Maybe like Warner Brothers, you're going to see that a lot. Like Suicide Squad. Jesus Christ, that is a not the terrible, not the bad one.
I've watched a third of the new one.
Okay. Yeah, it's ruthless. It's ruthless.
I was like, I need to actually spend the rest of my time. I don't need to. I don't want to be distracted or watch the rest of that one because I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. When was the Blade comic book character started? I think this is a question for Shane, probably. Is that like an 80s dark comics thing?
I think
it's
the 80s dark comics.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. Are the vampires in the Blade franchise in this movie specifically, are they actually threatening? They're really bad goons.
Are you saying
they're bad at being goons?
Are you saying you wouldn't let Stephen Dorff fuck you?
Yes. Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That
looks pretty good in this movie. Yeah. He's very much living in a type. Like yes. this is a dated ass movie. But he's the main villain. Blade a lot of times will just go into clubs and shoot people.
Fucking owns. This is so awesome.
This is also like a pre-Columbine, I think. Yes, pre-Columbine movie.
No.
That 99.
Oh, yeah. It was right around, yeah.
Yeah, so not even eyebrow raising to walk into a club and start blasting everybody. Yeah. They're dangerous in the sense that they have fangs, but they're not actually fighting Blade. He's just shooting random people. And when it does come down to like a one-on-one fight, it all seems very easy for him, I'm saying. Until someone comes in with like a cattle prod, then he's in trouble. That's a recurring theme about the movies.
For whatever reason.
Blade and electricity, no good.
Never explained.
They're bad antagonists, I'm saying.
By the third major exception. If like you're a vampire, why are you even trying to fight him?
Yeah, you've had success. Just none.
Zero. None. Can we talk about how awesome the opening scene is?
Yes.
Like where there's the fucking club.
The opening scene is really good.
Amazing.
Probably the best thing Stephen Norrington ever did.
Amazing.
One of the two or three best things I think in the whole franchise. It's a really cool mood setting scene. Very much of its time with like secret clubs. I don't know. Maybe those will come back. I'm not plugged in.
You liar. You dog. You
like meat lockers and secret passageways and bouncers with code words and all that shit.
I've seen you in your little fedora. No, not fedora. That's
sure.
What we call that hat.
Just knocking on doors and saying, Chrysanthemum.
Yeah.
Just waiting until the moment.
I've seen you do that.
It'll work one of these times.
You lived in her house and you did that to all of her neighbors every time you got drunk. It was it was ridiculous. You kept walking to the next door neighbor saying chrysanthemum. And they go, Mr. Kissy.
The word is chrysanthemum. No good secret basement bars in a residential neighborhood. I mean, what kind of bullshit is this? Anyways, it's a good idea just to have these, like the equivalent for vampires of the DJ throwing cakes in the crowd is blood coming out of the sprinklers. It's a nice idea. And you get the audience surrogate through this incredible Nickelback douche.
Yes.
Him trying to figure out what's going on as the hands are going up around him is a really cool shot. And then, yeah, you get Blade charging in and just mowing people down.
Just great visuals.
Mowing unarmed club goers down.
So awesome.
But it turns out they're secretly what?
Hmm?
They're vampires, yeah?
Well, yeah, sure, yeah.
And the hangers-ons. Hangers-on?
Yeah, they're familiars.
Familiar. Sure, that's right.
But it seems like they're living in some kind of symbiosis with human, not symbiosis, but like, I don't know, like we haven't gone on a global tapeworm eradication campaign. Like, sure, fine, they're parasites, but they seem to be existing more or less in some kind of weird harmony. I don't know. Part of Stephen Dorff's plan is to overthrow whatever the Vampire Council is doing in L.A.
Yeah.
Somehow he's able to just push them around.
I'll tell you what,
Donald Logue at his back.
You know what they're doing in LA?
Yeah, what?
Not being sexy vampires.
Yeah, the time has passed. The time has passed on suit-clad vampires. We're into deeply unbuttoned shirts. We're into long pinky fingernails.
Yeah, let's go,
Steven. The point is, they're bad villains. they're just so unthreatening. So unthreatening. Including the named villains in the movie. I mentioned Donald Logue. Blade could kill him a dozen times over. What takes him so long? Why is he keeping this guy around? Donald Logue, yeah. The guy who keeps getting like burned and like his arm cut off
Quinn.
And all that. Yeah, of course, Quinn.
I only recognize his Blade name.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I don't know why.
It makes Blade look bad at his job.
Sunglasses.
Does he? I don't know. Like, even Stephen Dorff is not a fan.
Yeah,
Tegan Frost. What's going on with... This is a question for Drew. What's going on with Pearl? Like, the giant blob vampire in the basement? What's happening there? Sketch me out Pearl's backstory.
Like, we're talking like...
What's going on with that? With whatever that is. It's a vampire.
I don't even...
Why is she so fat? How do vampires get fat?
The only way I could ever think of somebody, of a vampire who is getting fat is that is the fact that this person could only be eating too much blood. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's very confusing.
I thought you were gonna say Travolta as a vampire.
What's that?
Are we sure?
Is that what Phenomenon is about? Travolta as a vampire?
He eats so much blood. Americans are getting so fat that vampires are getting fat.
They need to make themselves relatable.
Pearl's the lady? I don't want you to misgender.
Pearl is named Pearl, but Pearl is referred to as a he.
That's what I thought. So
it's all very strange.
You just misgendered him.
No, I said... Whatever. I'm not gonna stand up.
Embarrassed by yourself.
It's all staying in.
Pearl is so smart that he knows he doesn't have to move anymore. That people just feed him stuff and he doesn't have to move.
Is he so smart? He's immobile. He has no guards.
Well, I mean, he's doing all right.
I
think Pearl is doing what Pearl wanted to do. Pearl's gonna be Pearl.
It's a very strange corner of the movie that there's this fat ass vampire hacker in Deacon Frost's basement.
It completely owns.
Is it making fun of like hackers? I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe.
The movie?
Sure.
With Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, it's specifically making fun of the movie hackers.
Crossed over. I think Pearl says Zero Cool sucks my dick.
Blade's doing his ostentatious fist pump.
Yeah.
After the cut. Take that, hackers.
This is like the best special effects in the movie, I think, right? Other than the opening
scene. Like a puppet, I would imagine. Solid puppet tree, I suppose.
It's awesome. It's way better than CGI.
It's just there to be there. I don't know. It seems very unmotivated. We'll talk about like good motivated weirdness with Blade 2, but it's just like gross for the sake of gross, I guess. I don't know.
I like that. I like that about this movie. They just don't give a shit. Like you can't. A Marvel movie would never fucking do this today.
There would be a TV series about Pearl.
There'd be a TV sometime series down the about road. Pearl, like wearing, I don't know, and probably wearing blue and
being fat outfit. Shamed.
And being fat shamed, and like how Blade should feel bad about it or some shit.
Sanaa Lathan as Blade's mom. In the movie for the correct amount of time or not enough? I'm in the not enough category. Like, that's interesting. Like, someone who was a human that was turned into a vampire and now is super fucking into it. Blade could have been that. Blade was that for a period of time.
I didn't like that they showed that in the end.
Yeah.
It was too much.
That they brought her back at all? Like, she's even in the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I think it's weird. If you're going to bring her back, we don't need her trying to fuck her own son.
That's fair. Yep. That's fair.
Too much.
I hadn't put that together. Back to the, it turned into a vampire.
I know you guys are from. I'm not from Southern Indiana, so no, right. Incest. I was kidding, guys. Guys.
It would just make the movie better if Blade wasn't anyway conflicted ever about anything. Why does Blade hate vampires?
Because they killed his mom.
He was a baby.
But I mean, you can still
grow and up hey, about mom's shit, right man. Here. Does your whole life, mom never went anywhere? Does your whole life Hannibal, have to be reevaluated?
Hannibal went on a whole fucking quest against Rome, and he was like fucking 5 when Rome killed his whole Carthage shit. Right? He couldn't remember that.
You gotta take those elephants somewhere.
I was listening to the Rome podcast. Sorry.
That's fair. Cool. History of Rome, Mike Duncan, different one. Yes, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Good shit.
It is.
So we're getting some more room.
Long way to go.
Possibly. All right.
Deacon Frost. Stephen Dorff.
Awesome.
Again, not a threatening antagonist. Bullshit. Really no match for Blade until we get to the very end, which we're going to save for a minute or two. Just a douche. Super maybe cool. The most dated thing, a dated movie.
Awesome. He's super cool.
Drew, I don't even know if he was Drew, good for the time period. I feel like he's doing a Lost Boys thing.
Drew, you gotta break the tie here. John says super douche. I say super cool. Where are we at?
I'm in the middle. He has douche tendencies. He has.
I don't think Dorff is bad by any means. I think he's doing what is being asked of him, but the character is just really
super charismatic,
poorly conceived, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's not his fault. Why does his hair look so good all the time?
I just have no sense. True Blood, for all of its problems, the older a vampire got, the more powerful they were. It was very simple. A younger vampire would never be able to defeat an older vampire.
That's right.
Unless they were sneaky somehow.
There are rules.
Frost, there are rules, yes. We live in a society. Deacon Frost is able to, like, hijack the... theoretically, the most powerful vampires in L.A. somehow. He's just, like, pushing them onto a beach.
It's unclear.
Yeah. As far as Blade itself is concerned, Blade 2 clues us in, I suppose, to, like, broader vampire bureaucracy. But as far as Blade is concerned, those guys have no power at all. They're just dudes in suits who happen to be vampires. And he's got an open collar. Which gives him all his power.
Yeah, it's your gray hair.
And an infinity pool.
Gray hair and an infinity pool. Infinity pool is fucking dope shit. Come on. You
mentioned, last thing before we get to CGI, is you mentioned the music. I don't remember a lot of the music in this movie compared to the other two movies where I very much do.
I don't remember any particular songs.
Yeah, it's just a tone.
When you went to this movie in 1998... there was no techno music like out there. You were not listening to techno on. And Drew, you're younger than me, so maybe in
not by much.
Similar or different, but there was no techno on the radio.
No,
1998 was like kind of the start of it. Like Darude, I would bet was 99. Darude stands for if I had to put money on it, I bet that shit came out in 97, 98, right? Mm-hmm. Like Daft Punk was a 1994. They came out in 1994, mm-hmm. and then I think the second album 96.
I'm thinking movie wise.
But
I want to say like Dark City and The Crow would have probably had a lot of techno in them, but I don't know.
Dark Core is just referred to in Blade Trinity, or is that Blade 2?
Is it?
I don't know.
It's
referred to in one of them.
Is it show up on Jessica Biel's playlist or something?
Yeah. Oh, that was right. Blade Trinity. Yes, that's correct. Jurassic 5 on our playlist as well.
Okay.
No, this was like, this was huge. This is like huge, like to have electronic music in this. I specifically remember how awesome that was. And me and my buddies who rode our bikes up to the movie theater were like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah. This is the only one of these movies that isn't aggressively ripping anything off. Don't have a good enough sense of like the specific kind of music or club culture of the time to say that definitively, but nothing really comes to mind. 98, I was 14. I wouldn't have watched this movie until I bought the terrible DVD case with like the clasp and the cardboard.
Shit. You were partying in 98?
I wasn't. No, I'm afraid not.
What a fucking loser!
I don't want to tell you. It was school dances for me.
Just go and do eighth grade stuff like long division.
Oh, that was third grade, baby. Was it? I don't know. Not eighth grade.
No. Algebra 1.
There it is. There it
is. You do Algebra 1.
I was learning how to calculate volumes and cylinders, bitch.
Yeah, well, how many volumes of awesome was Blade 1?
I don't know, like 3/4. last thing to be said about Blade is the CGI, as Shane mentioned, is truly abysmal. How dare they even put this in a finished movie? It's really just the two shots at the end. It's the... We mentioned... Deacon Frost being a terrible antagonist.
It looks
even when he is supreme vampire ancient power, he's a fucking clown.
It looks like Tim and Eric Awesome Show. I know awful. I have to go back to that guy, but that is the peak of bad CGI. It's so bad.
It was just really bad in this entire period. Star Wars prequels, The Mummy. There's some good stuff. Well, Mummy, a lot of the Mummy is practical, and you can see it like turn in the second one where there is just really terrible, like The Rock as a robot.
Oh, that was so bad. Just
truly terrible.
Why was Jurassic Park so good and the rest is just, I mean,
it's a good question. I have no idea. I assume
Jurassic Park had 5 times the budget, but
sure.
By this, Jurassic Park was 94. This is 4 years.
Terminator 2 was 91.
Yeah.
A lot of time has gone by, and it's not that Stephen Norrington has to just fucking nail it out of the box. It's that it looks so terrible it should not be allowed.
Yes.
It's like it's snuck in under someone's eye.
And I still rode my bike to that and rode it back. It says awesome. So let's make Blade 2.
It's just a couple of shots, but Jesus Christ, is it terrible.
Did Steve Norrington make it to Blade 2?
Oh, no. He's long gone. Before we get to Blade 2, we're going to play a quick round of the movie game. We're doing great so far. Lots of Blade talk.
I like it.
Twice as much Blade talk to come. But before, we're just throwing up our random number generator to spit out a number in our giant movie spreadsheet. 438 equals Fruitvale Station.
Oh.
We'll go.
What a classic.
We'll go myself and then Shane and then Drew.
Right.
I'll name an actor from Fruitvale Station. Octavia Spencer is in that. And then Shane will name a movie that Octavia Spencer is in. Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer. I don't know who she is.
Really? Nothing? Nothing?
I have no idea.
We'll say Michael B. Jordan.
Space Jam 2.
Is he really?
It's actually the best scene in the whole movie.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
You've got like, the entire spectrum of Warner Brothers' entire history at your feet, Drew.
Yes, you do. They're like Michael Jordan, and Michael B. Jordan shows up, and he's like, I don't know.
That's awful. I hate that.
Actually, it's the best part of the movie. That's how bad that movie was.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, guys, clear eyes, clear hearts, can't lose.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
Drew, Space Jam Legacy.
LeBron James. He's the only one I know in that film other than the cartoons.
Totally fine. He's in Trainwreck.
Oh, he is in Trainwreck. Nice
quite
job.
Good in Trainwreck.
Nice job, guys. Shit. I've been drinking since 3. I can't think of the lady's name because she's a famous comedian. She's a star of that movie. I'm out.
Drew, Trainwreck?
Rebel Wilson.
No, you're thinking of Amy Schumer, I believe.
Why did I...
Drew, you got your plus-size blonde ladies confused.
Crap.
It's okay. Happens to the best of us.
You're going to want to edit all this out, John.
I might.
Not Rebel Wilson. I was thinking of another... Anyway. Got him. Yeah.
Amy
Schumer.
Here we go.
We did great as a group. I won round one.
Anyways.
Or did I? Steve I think Moore, nobody won.
Sexy as shit. Let's anyways. Go. Right.
Blade 2.
What about when he had the, like, let's just put sunscreen on vampires. They're fine now.
Yeah. What we didn't talk about is him chucking a little Asian girl. That was delightful. That was fun. Anytime. That was
fucking awesome.
Not once. We'll return to child throwing as we continue to discuss the Blade trilogy.
It's
a recurring awesome theme. Yeah. Blade 2, released in 2000, awesome. Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Hell yeah.
This would be his first major movie after making a couple of Spanish language movies. Initial thoughts. We'll start with Drew on this one. Blade 2.
Yeah, this is okay. It's, you know, it's not... I didn't have high expectations into this. And so, I mean, it's... Ron Perlman's in it. So that's kind of cool. Chris Christopherson's back. Which sure, he was sure, a stunner sure. that he was in there even in the first time. So, yeah, I mean, the action's great. That's what makes it. This isn't anything that, you know, that it's, this isn't wonderful. I mean, the story is pretty silly, but at the same time, it's the action. So,
Shane, Blade 2.
Fucking movie owns. Like, if Del Toro was like, let's do this all in Spanish, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'll fucking watch it in Spanish. I barely speak Spanish. It's fine.
I think this is a better movie than the first. I think it improves on most, if not all, aspects of the franchise as it exists. I think Guillermo del Toro has a lot going on. I think he brings a lot of creativity to whatever he's working on, and that is very much the case here. Yeah. This is the only film in the franchise out of these three movies that has an actual filmmaker at the helm, who is someone who was, like, we praised Stephen Norrington a little bit in the first one. He had the sense to, like, film that introductory nightclub scene. There's not nothing there, and he gets some good acting out of Snipes and Christopherson, who we didn't really mention at all.
We should be ashamed. Blade.
But Del Toro, I think, has, like, vision and imagination that him and especially David S. Goyer does not have at all.
Yeah, I feel like the first movie was like, here's some awesome shit we're gonna do. Fuck everything else. Like, we're gonna have, like, 3 things out of 10. And then Del Toro takes us 3 things out of 10 and tries to expand on that.
Yeah, right? It's like standard sequel type stuff. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the world is bigger, and you get more peaks inside of the vampire world, and Blade gets new toys, and there are more characters, and it's in a lot of ways it is more, but it justifies that more by not just throwing more open-shirted club rats into it. Like, it reimagines vampires as they are, and then adds this real... I talked about what terrible antagonist Deacon Frost is in the previous movie, what dorks his goons are.
His goons.
Useless.
And I was like, do they still have the black caps and glasses in this one?
Yes.
They're still MAGA? MAGA, like, if you took a picture of any of the goons in Blade 1 and, like, took a selfie of them, you'd be like, that guy's gonna troll on Twitter, right?
I could, yeah.
Right? They're just looking at the glass, the sunglasses and the skull cap, and they're like, well, have you ever thought about this, Afghanistan? Have you ever thought about not falling to the Taliban? Donald Trump wouldn't have done that.
Standard vampire propaganda. Propping up nation building. That's what vampires are all about.
Nation building, that's right.
Anyway, so...
You know, like, I think the first or the third one, they definitely had, like, different henchmen. And
they're all club rats for the most part, whereas they're Euro Trash here, which is fun, which is just more fun, yeah. I think.
It's a lot easier to watch Euro Trash die.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a lot of fun to watch these mutant vampires die, and, like, this movie actually feels threatening because they move away from these vampires with vague powers, if they have any at all. Maybe they just can regenerate their... They might be as simple as that. They can just regenerate their limbs. Are they strong? Are they fast? Nobody knows. these Reapers with their incredible mouths and their incredible anatomy. We see their entire chest cavity at one point.
Fuck yeah.
Great, great stuff. It makes sense physiologically, kind of, which is a lot of fun. You can see the tubes. Great. Love that. They feel threatening. They feel dangerous. They feel like they could really mess Blade up.
I always like in these movies, like when they're dissecting that person, and then one person who has maybe, like, I don't know, a sliver of biology background,
mm-hmm.
says stuff like, oh, they have that. Well, therefore, sure. They have this.
Yeah.
And that's how their whole body operates. And they're right. They're just right.
Standard movie jargon exposition. Yeah.
Fantastic.
These guys, there's the main Reaper.
Novak?
Yes, Novak. There it is. Thank you very much. Luke Goss. And then there are all of his progeny. And every one of them feels dangerous. Compare that to, like, other faceless goons, faceless cannon fodder in, like, any other superhero movie. And, like, these are, if not the most, certainly top two or three most memorable vast army of enemies. Like, Avengers Infinity War with, like, the dogs or whatever. Who gives a shit? They're not really there. They don't feel threatening. These guys feel threatening, and not just because they actually take out some of the Blood Pack, who we'll talk about later, but
awesome.
Just because they're well thought out, well filmed, credible entities on screen. They aren't just ones and zeros. We talked about the CGI. The CGI is getting better here. It's not perfect by any means, but the most important thing is that they get the creature effects right, and that shit is just makeup and puppetry and. It's just always going to look better when it's real.
Yes. These guys, there are consequences when you run up against these guys in this movie. A lot of Marvel movies, there are not. A lot of MCU movies, there are consequences come across these bad guys. You have these floating, whatever the fuck they are, in Avengers that are 200 feet long, and they just run into buildings. Mm-hmm. There are no consequences, right? Other than building explodes. People die in this. Like, the good guys... Quote, good guys die in this. The guy who's fucking super awesome with his super cool sword dies in this off screen, which is a fucking waste.
We'll talk about it.
Because that guy's awesome looking.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Drew, Reapers mm-hmm. compared to douchey vampires. Surely you're a little lukewarm on Blade 2 in your initial thoughts, but like the imagination is here, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, the whole thing about, as y'all put it, the douchey vampires that's a fairly good thought there. But what we have here is, you know, it's a better story, but it's not, you know, the bad guys are doing something a bit more constructive than they were in the last time, you know, in that whole thing. But as far as, you know, I say it's an improvement, but at the same time, it's not something fantastic. So, but in short, I'd take this and, you know, Blade 2's set of bad guys over the first one.
Yeah. I like, there's some alien in the creature design here with, like, the third tongue or whatever you want to call it. And the subtext of that movie is, what if men were raped by monsters? And here it's not quite as explicit as that, but you can't help but think about it. They're shooting out this probe and injecting their victims with something.
So
it's there.
Which is more of a turn on? These monsters in this movie are fucking your vampire mom in the first movie?
These, definitely. These. What was the question? What was the what? It's always going to be these. It's always going to be these.
These monsters are fucking your vampire mom.
What am I doing with them? Am I having sex with them?
Yeah, you're fucking. Yeah, you fuck these monsters or you fucking.
I don't think they would
be
into it. We only saw their torsos. We don't know that they still have sexual organs.
We don't know that. But would you rather fuck these guys or your vampire mom from the first movie, John?
I mean, what's that DNA look like, I guess, with your mom? Has it been just so extensively rewritten that incest becomes meaningless?
If it helps you out, you're fucking...
And she's a stranger to Blade. Blade was a baby. Blade doesn't recognize his mom. If I remember that scene... If I remember that scene, I kind of think he does recognize her as his mom.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, 100% correct. Like, she's like, I'm your mom, and then she almost mouth kisses him.
I guess he would have seen newspaper clippings as he got older. Who was saving them?
She's like, announces.
Blade goes to the library, like, see the microfiche.
and if you're fucking either one of them, they're both, neither one's in daylight. I don't know if
that course, yeah, that goes without saying. That was implied.
Which one are you fucking, Drew?
Oh, man. I think I'd have to go with... I'd have to gamble and not know and jump into the unknown and go with the... go with the now vampire.
Around in a dark room. I think you would figure it out. Like, once you got to that third mouth flap, you'd be like,
This doesn't feel like mom.
You know, well... Yeah,
listen.
You'd figure it out eventually, that's for sure. I'll give you that, but I don't know with these vampires, and I'd take that over incest any day.
Shane mentioned your future in politics. Like, there's your slogan. Yeah. I'd take that over incest any day.
Yeah, there we go.
ironically, that sinks you in Texas.
Anyways. We talked about Blade kind of blazing its own trail. That's not the case anymore with Blade 2, and it won't be the case with Blade Trinity either. But The Matrix has come out. Like, you can see it in the way that they changed Blade's costume. You can see it in the way that everybody's wearing leather as opposed to, like, the blousy shirts from the first movie. Yeah. There's a lot of speed ramping. This movie does predate Matrix Reloaded, but there's essentially the same thing. There's the same scene in Blade 2 as there is in Blade, or as there is in Matrix Reloaded, where there's like a big special effects laden fight that doesn't need to happen and serves no purpose. It's just there because why the hell not? And that's also the site of the movie's worst CGI, which would also be the case in Matrix Reloaded as well. Like, I suppose that Wesley Snipes could like do a backflip off of a stairwell. And, like, jump 15 feet in the air.
I honestly think that the best part of these three movies is the fact that Wesley Snipes can pull off so much of the karate and, like, physical moves. And just a little camera. Just obviously, you're messing with camera views.
Sure.
And angles and yada, yada. So I think the CGI is just so gratuitous. It's just not needed for how much Wesley Snipes is able to pull it off.
It doesn't play a big part here, but it is really apparent when it does.
Yes.
You still get like a video game sheen on a lot of stuff here. The blood pack.
Awesome.
So silly.
Wasted.
Incredibly awesome. Silly. This movie, I think, is very funny. Not on purpose. And I think the humor comes out of the blood pack. I don't think the movie is on the joke. I think their slow motion walk into the club to that Mos Def song is fucking hilarious.
It's fucking awesome.
I think their introduction with their stupid hand signals, hilarious. I think their outfits, hilarious. Everything about them, I think it's a big joke 20 years on. I don't know if it would have been as funny in 2000, but in 2021, it's really stupid.
Before I talk about how awesome they are, I want to say how hilarious. I understand where you're coming from, because in the what I think of
the captions.
Captions, sorry. So what I think was so hilarious about this is in the closed captions, it actually says Mos Def singing with Chemical Brothers.
That song is garbage.
The song owns. And you were wrong about that. And
of all the things they could have scored it against, these fucking nerds walking into this club, slow motion.
The fact that it's so corny. Just like no one is like freaking out about them, I think is the funny part. The fact that they just walk in.
They're heavily armed.
Heavily armed. Even vampires, you gotta be like.
And now we're post-Columbine now.
This guy's gonna ship to school. So library around here.
As far as
fucking walk in, the one guy who doesn't even say, I don't think he says anything. He's
dead. Yeah, Donnie Yen.
Oh, which one? The
Snowflake or whatever his name is.
I don't know. The
his name might be Snowflake.
There's the Asian guy, and then there's the
Donnie Yen. Yeah.
Okay, so he's awesome looking.
I guess.
And then there's a guy who's, I think, Hispanic kind of looking with a big axe. He's awesome.
Sure, looking. Yeah.
He doesn't say a fucking thing. And they're both just fucking awesome looking.
The woman with the wig has the weakest ending. You get nothing out of her.
She just absolutely nothing.
Suicide. Which was arguably the right way to go. Who knows? Her dumbass husband is doing the classic zombie movie trope. Yeah. Like, no, I'm fine.
Weak.
Somehow he's fine. Like 24 hours goes by, if not longer. Why does it take him so long?
Why does Priest go and then he doesn't?
Maybe he got a higher dose. Why?
It's because he has a cool outfit.
Sure. He's the classic Irish Priest racist.
Priest looks like a piece of shit. He's just like a fucking drunk Irish guy, and this guy looks fucking awesome. That awesome outfit looks like just stops.
Snowman is Donnie Yen's name, I believe.
He looks cool as shit.
His intro, where he does some kind of hand motion.
That's how they jerk off.
What's going on there? I love it. Whatever it is.
I don't care. He's awesome.
It's so stupid.
He's so cool.
And for him to just die off camera.
That sucks.
Yeah, everything involving the Blood Pack is the film's biggest misstep for me. Between the guy hiding his zombie bite and the way they dispatch of them. Some better than others, but
I could handle the zombie bite a lot better if they did more with it.
Sure. Just the idea, too.
It seems like a very natural thing, right?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to do that. Zombies didn't have their moment in 2000 the way they did in like 10 or 15 years later.
That's because zombies are pussies.
Sure. there's another campaign slogan for you, Drew.
I love it.
Maybe it wasn't as hacky as it was now, but it's not like George Romero hasn't been making zombie movies for like 40 years by this point. Like, I'm sure that kind of thing had happened before, and it's just not necessary. Like, the Reapers are intimidating. It's not difficult for them to take care of these vampire commandos who think it's a super fucking awesome idea to split up all the time.
Well, this is kind of a horror movie, too, though, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of what Del Toro's going for.
I think all of the movies flirt with being horror, with like being outright horror to varying degrees of success. I think they have that impulse. They just don't do it very well. This movie is trying with those kind of tropes, but it's the body horror that Blade 2 is most successful at.
Yes.
And I guess on the one hand, you get that with the big giant guy with the axe. Why that Reaper's lungs are coming out of its back, who knows? It's just a nice, fun little body horror image.
That's right.
Yeah. And like additional body horror type stuff. You get, once you get in that club and like people are doing like Hellraiser type shit, they're like tattooing their spinal columns or rejiggering the veins in their arms. I don't know what's going on there, but frankly, I want more of it.
Hell yeah.
Because that's what I'm here for.
Can we agree that the best scenes of the first two Blade movies are the club scenes?
I think that's probably true, yeah. I don't know if Del Toro was the first one to do that sweeping shot of a club where you're like zooming across the heads of the whole crowd, but they reliably work.
I feel like they both nail it, the club
scenes. Yeah, I would agree with that.
If I was gonna
Frost's Infinity Pool party.
You're just jealous of how good Siebendorf looks.
Yeah, that's it.
And that Infinity Pool.
Drew, any Blood Pack talk? You mentioned Ron Perlman. He's fun, I suppose.
Yeah, he's all right. You know, and you know, he and Snipes have their little fight scene that we've all been waiting on the entire time. And
he's really pathetic.
It is, but you could see it was going to happen at the very beginning when they first met. So like, well, eventually these two are going to fight each other, and you know, it'd be a shame. What a dud that would be if Blade lost. So,
I want to talk about that because Ron Perlman is an actually good actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is,
and his character is awesome in all this. Like, so it's wild to have someone who's so like he's not super physically overwhelming.
He's tall.
He's tall. Mm-hmm. He gets a little monster for this movie. Even though I was watching this thinking, this is nothing compared to the muscle that everyone puts on for the current day MCU.
Not even Blade. Not even Snipes, I don't think. It's so,
Snipes is pretty fucking
jacked. I think he's just, yeah, I think that's just his natural state. Did you look
at his stats on the computer? 5'8", 175?
I think it's just his natural state is to be that ripped. I don't think he's working very hard, but it's not like gross in the way like I keep talking about. I feel like every time this comes up, I talk about Kumail Nanjiani just looking so terrible.
Mm-hmm. It looks terrible. It's fucking great. But we also all know that that guy has a personal trainer and is also oiled up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just so unnecessary.
I think it was wild that they actually said on camera, Blade, 5'8", 175.
I missed that.
It was, I can't remember which movie it was in, but they said it. And it's pretty fucking accurate, probably.
Yeah. You think?
Dead. He might be 5'7", but I guarantee he's 175.
Wow.
He's jacked. That's a great. That's, yeah, good for him. Good for you, Wesley Snipes. I'm so happy for you.
Where's Chupa from?
Chupa?
The blood pack guy. You think he's a white Brazilian? He looks like a redneck, but his name is Chupa.
Chupa. That guy with the axe?
He doesn't really have any distinguishing characteristics. He's got a mecha minigun.
Is that guy with the blonde hair? Blonde hair?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why name him Chupa of all names?
I don't know. I thought
that guy's from fucking Arkansas.
I thought the guy who didn't say anything. He looks like Johnny Miller, but with muscle. Right?
Mm.
Some muscle.
Another ignominious. Yeah, another ignominious end. Yeah. He's a fucking vampire. Are vampires strong or not? Why can't he put his fist through Whistler? He's beating up an old man.
I mean, I thought he beat the shit out of Whistler.
Yeah, but he's an old man against a vampire.
I think his problem was he enjoyed beating the shit out of Whistler too much.
They're just not... There's no evidence that they're strong.
Not in these films, no.
There's no evidence that when human beings get hit, they don't suffer consequences. So many fucking rules.
The last thing I want to say about Blade 2 is...
I could talk about this movie forever.
What I want... Well, here's a little corner of the world. What I want more of in these movies is the work of vampire hunting. You get little montages. Yes. You get little montages of like crafting the silver bullets, and then Blade is just spraying them everywhere. Especially with the blood pack. The blood pack does the same. They're just spraying bullets everywhere. I want to see some humanizing frustration from Blade. Like each one of those takes about 10 minutes to make, probably. He's got to find the silver. There's only so much silver in the world. He's got to find the silver. He's got to melt the silver. He's got to craft the bullets. He's got to like chip them away, and he's got to manually load them into guns. So, you see him do this over and over again. I wish the movie showed him being frustrated
You want Blade at a spreadsheet saying, "God, motherfucker."
Who else is doing it? Whistler, he seems more of like a mechanic type guy. He can chip in with the bullets here and there. But
I'm in. This is Blade 2 is the one where like when they're blood pack is shooting at the Reapers. They're just fucking wasting.
They are explicitly told bullets do no good. they're loading
vampires,
with a fucking minigun. That guy, Chupa, is spraying hundreds of bullets.
They're exploding around the Reapers. The Reapers are fine, but all these vampires are like, it's awesome. It's so fucking great.
It's just more chores for Blade.
That's it.
This is what he does during the day when the vampires are asleep. He's smelting.
At least there are consequences in this movie, unlike half the MCU movies.
I mean, it's only bad guys that die.
In MCU?
In Blade 2.
No.
Whistler comes back. There are no consequences for Whistler. There's consequences for Whistler in Blade Trinity.
But in this movie, there are innocent, quote-unquote, innocent vampires who are being fucking wasted.
Blade is delighted.
Vampires are shooting at vampires, wasting other vampires, trying to get the Reapers.
Blade is delighted that all these vampires are getting lit up in this club. It's the best thing that could have happened to Blade. They're doing their job for him.
Fair enough.
And Priest, racist-ass Priest.
Racist-ass Priest.
Who has a fantastic death scene, it must be said.
Yes.
Is loving it, too. That's another part of the world that I think is like, because these movies are not trying to be smart in any way, but just like the various, some of this was in Blade, like Pure Bloods versus Turn vampires. I feel like there was something there.
There are the bones of...
And like Stephen Dorff calls Blade an Uncle Tom at a certain point. Fantastic. So these movies are thinking about racial aspect, like, but it becomes less and less as the movies go on.
Legitimately, you know? Takes some good points out of comic books. Because comic books are good. In general, I think they're a good basis for a lot of good literature. So, but sometimes you just gotta fucking add a techno beat and just fucking rock out.
Hey, eye against eye. Flesh of my flesh, mind of my mind. It's a dumbass fucking song. Round two of the movie game brings us to number 3949, which is Stray Dogs. Stray Dogs.
Never heard of
it. Oh, that's not what I thought it was. That's a really boring Taiwanese movie. I thought it was something else. What is that fucking movie called?
All right, I got nothing.
I'm thinking of something else. It's like a rape revenge movie.
Starring Dustin Hoffman. We don't need to do that.
Starring Dustin Hoffman. It was remade. Starring James Marsden. That was our primary to go.
How many movies has that guy been?
A whole bunch. A whole bunch. So 2330 is our next chance. Oh, Unhung Hero. That is a documentary about a guy with a little wiener and trying to feel better about himself. Pretty good documentary, in fairness. That one's entertaining. 1593 for our next attempt. The spreadsheet is vast and stuffed with documentaries and all kinds of stuff that this doesn't really work. Fools rush in. Fools rush in. I'm starting per usual, and Matthew Perry is in Fools Rush In.
Eastward Bound.
Eastward Bound to Drew. What's that movie about?
Eastward Bound. Owen Wilson.
What the fuck? All right.
Is he in there?
Owen Wilson is in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Bill Murray.
All right. Doing great.
Bill Murray?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray is in Caddyshack.
Rodney Dangerfield is in Caddyshack.
Rodney Dangerfield is in Ladybugs.
Oh, man. I'm struggling here.
Kathy Ireland is in Ladybugs.
What are these movies? Eastward Bound and Ladybugs. Okay, I believe you. This all.
Drew, I can't remember Kathy Ireland and Ladybugs. But
Drew is responding credibly. So.
Drew's in his wheelhouse. He's like obscure. Kathy Ireland. Teen movies right now.
I'm guessing.
Does her cutout count in Bash Brothers?
No.
Oh, God damn it. I'm out. I got nothing.
Well, Kathy Ireland?
I got nothing.
Unnecessary. Some kind of cameo. Roughness.
I haven't seen any of these. I don't know that I've even fucking heard of any of these
unnecessary
movies.
Unnecessary Roughness.
You guys have found my kryptonite.
Unnecessary Roughness has Scott Bakula.
Oh, man.
Challenge. Name another movie he's in.
Yes.
Name another movie Scott Bakula is in?
Yes.
Major League 3, Back to the Minors.
Oh, God! Ah!
Drew with a point.
God damn it, Drew. Good fucking pull.
Good job, Drew.
What a shitty movie and a great pull by Drew.
It's a terrible movie.
Our final movie is A Blade Trinity from 2004.
Fucking awesome.
Directed by David S. Goyer. There's another squad of vampire hunters as opposed to the squad of vampire commandos in Blade 2, led by Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel. After Whistler is killed. Again, we're really not talking about Kris Kristofferson very
much.
We're not.
We're really not. We're not. Can we take 5 minutes?
It's like a third lead. 5 minutes? Good God.
Can we take 30 seconds to talk about how
Is? Quick sidebar in the lead up to Blade Trinity. Kris Kristofferson, present in these movies.
There is no human being on the face of this earth that does not like Kris Kristofferson.
I think that's fair. He's a likable guy. He's been around a very long time. He's got a long resume in many different venues.
Good songwriter.
At first, you're like, I don't know who he is. But if you know who he is, you're like, he's awesome.
You've certainly heard the name before because you would remember if you did.
And he's cranky and it's amazing. He's great in all three of these movies. He's just a cranky old white guy that you like.
Yeah.
Period.
His leg sucks.
Leg sucks.
Something we didn't mention in Blade 2, real quick. We're not going to comment on it too long because we got to keep this moving. When he comes, sure, yeah, that's irritating. When he comes up on Blade in like the in the blood draining table, he's like messing around with the controls.
Sure.
How did he know how to get them all down? Like, what if he like raised up the one that like drove a spike to the back of his head or through his chest?
You don't remember?
Solid blooper.
No, he hit the wrong one the first time.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He got him right. He got it right immediately.
No, he hit the wrong one. It didn't do anything. He did the second one and he got right.
Well, it should have hurt Blade more, is what I'm saying. That would have been funny. That would have been an actual joke instead of just me laughing at the general goofiness of the costume department.
I thought it was pretty funny that he fucked it up the first time. But he didn't do it
right. I'm going to have to watch it again.
He missed
That's like a weak attempt at a joke when a very strong attempt was
there.
Don't
you dare start from right there.
I think like that's a Robot Chicken segment where like he accidentally kills Blade and then just like limps quietly out of the room.
I'd fucking watch that.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Right. Anyways, Blade and Blade Trinity teams up with a bunch of people with hot bows to take down Dracula. Initial thoughts, Blade Trinity. Let's start with Shane.
Like one of the greatest action movies of all time.
I don't understand.
Like this movie is perfect for what it is. It knows what it is, and it's fucking perfect. Did Blair and I laugh at it when you're not supposed to be laughing at it last night?
Yeah, that's me and Blade 2, and I gave it a B-.
Yeah, but fuck that. It's awesome. The movie's awesome.
Drew,
bad movie. Good action.
I think this is a bad movie.
I think both of you Both of you need to be checked for erectile dysfunction if you don't like the ending of this movie.
When Dracula coughed up a bunch of germs.
Yeah.
Why this bullshit action movie and not 100 others?
Listen, there are a lot of good
Why not Blade instead of Blade Trinity?
Well, one, Blade 2 is better than
Blade 1. Of course, yes.
Objectively. This one is the worst, objectively, but it's the awesomest, non-objectively.
Why? Why more than it makes, Blade?
Because this one makes no fucking sense, and it's awesome.
I just don't understand. Of all the movies,
this is a
running joke
in
the Media Community Club that Shane exhausts his cell space in the spreadsheet by putting way too many pluses after his A.
He does.
I just don't understand. I don't know how the formula in the spreadsheet calculates all those pluses. Maybe it's okay, just the whole thing. It doesn't even give a standard A plus grade.
It could. Brian might have given it something.
Hero.
Brian Excel sheet hero Brian H. This movie's fucking awesome. It's just fucking perfect for what it is. I don't know what to tell you. It's fucking fun as shit. None of the characters make sense.
I don't agree with any of that.
The plot doesn't make sense. The bad guy doesn't make sense. And it's just fucking awesome.
I don't see
Jessica Biel learn how to shoot bows and arrows. And you're like, I don't give a shit.
I mean, that's part's crazy. Fun, and
is it?
You get to see Ryan Reynolds with a goatee, and that's
see
okay
the
for
you know, neck of his dick.
That's it.
Pulls
that's
his
it.
Pants down and, so low,
and the fight scenes. That's the only redeeming thing about Blade 3.
Sorry, yikes! Towards the road, here. Everything is fine.
There's nothing yikes about Blade 3. Outside
up
of
to it including Ryan Reynolds' dick
of
neck.
It didn't last long enough, in my opinion.
Anyways, this is a movie written and directed by David S. Goyer, who will go on to direct a bunch of shit, like pretty bad horror movies. What he's most famous for is writing, or being being a co-writer on Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight movies and Zack Snyder's DC Universe movies, specifically Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. This is just a guy that sucks. I wouldn't attribute anything good in Nolan's Batman movies to him not being in the room, obviously, when they were writing it. I would just assume that any good ideas were Christopher Nolan's, and any bad ideas, of which those movies do have them, I would just throw that on David S. Goyer. He's just representative of so much that it will eventually go wrong with superhero movies, and what is starting to go wrong with superhero movies at this time in 2004, this is like Spider-Man 3 is around the corner. X-Men Last Stand is around the corner. It's sequels adding more for the sake of more, as opposed to a more organic growing of the world that happens in Blade 2. You get this like structure function pair between like franchise movie making and the character development within the movie of Blade learning to work with others welly better, because we're only going to get more action figures out of this franchise.
Yep.
It can't just be him and Whistler anymore. Not enough toyeticness.
One, there are no action figures on this franchise because it's too awesome for kids. But if I were to criticize this movie, and I wouldn't because I'm not an idiot, I would criticize it for the fact that it's trying to have an anti-hero bad guy, because this is very popular in 2001.
This is Dracula you're talking about?
Dracula. Remember, anti-hero Dracula, bad guy. None of it is fucking earned, because he constantly talks about you fought with honor. And like, wait, what? None of this makes sense. Like, none of that, like, fighting with honor makes sense. He stabs him with an arrow that Whistler's daughter misses him on. It doesn't make any sense. If you combine Stephen Dorff in this movie, you have Citizen Kane.
So, speaking of Dracula. Well, kind of. His whole thing about fighting with honor. Like, he just retired from murdering people like a dozen a day because none of the people were fighting with honor anymore.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you were a person to criticize it, I wouldn't criticize this movie, though.
Something else that will go on to infect superhero movies is like this hacky punch-up for, especially for Blade, which is not, as we've established, is not a franchise that has jokes. This movie has quote-unquote jokes in it. And they're awful. They're through the worst possible vehicle, which is like unreconstructed Ryan Reynolds before he like figured out the exact right volume on his persona. This movie sucks. It's Ryan, so irritating.
I think it's like Ryan Reynolds is funny, but the director is not, so he has no idea how to cut it.
Sure, and Ryan Reynolds might eventually get to a point where he can like ad-lib his way into a funny scene. Not yet.
Not yet. Like, this is like a test run for Deadpool.
Sure, yeah. Like, absolutely. 12 years will go by. He's so fucking irritating in this movie.
Who's more irritating, him or Buster Posey?
I like Parker Posey in this movie. I think, is the only one in this movie who knows exactly what she's doing. She knows that she's leaving this franchise by the end of the movie. She's not like the guy whose name I don't remember who's playing Dracula. He was like the most serious fucking guy in the world.
The guy who's in Prison Break, whatever.
Yeah, with his
Dominique Purcell.
Thank you, Drew. With his shirt that's cut all the way down, even deeper than Stephen Dorff. He's just walking on the street in this jewelry from Romania.
Stephen Dorff's like, dude, have some fucking humility, man.
Yeah, cut your fingernails. Parker Posey. She's been in like a lot of smart comedies by 2004. As soon as she figured out how they were going to like style her hair, she's like, okay, I know what's expected of me here. She's being campy.
I think that's why I like this movie. I feel like the whole thing is knowingly campy.
No, it's just her. Triple H has no idea.
That's might be true. Yep. Like Ryan Reynolds makes fun of her haircut in this movie.
Yeah, probably a pretty sweet ad lib from him. He's bad. Is he as bad as Jessica Biel? Open question. The movie asks so little of her, except to retain her present body shape and film a shower scene for some.
The shower scene. Okay. I'll defend this movie as a great, great action movie. I will not defend that shower scene.
Defend a beam of light half as hot as the sun.
Like, why are we doing the shower scene? Like, that's just, it was gross and weird, right?
It's par for the course. It's exactly what is expected from a movie like this. It's not like so much greatness was coming out of Blade and Blade 2 beyond just the desire to make a cool action movie. But Blade Trinity is pure mercenary commerce. We need a funny guy who the 12-year-olds will come out for. We'll need a hot girl who the 12-year-olds will come out for. We need to pay Blade his rate because that's the franchise that we're in. But he's pretty clearly or two movies away from being written out of the franchise if there was going to be another one.
If I was going to criticize the movie, and I won't, I would say Wesley Snipes doesn't really do much here. Right? He lets everyone else do everything.
Sure. Drew?
There's nothing else to really add to any of that. It's
out here because just like the franchise, is still up.
I love listening to Shane talk about Blade because we've been hearing it for ever.
Very long time.
And this is his, you know, this is the podcast that he's able to talk about. And it's been a pleasure listening to it. But I just, you know, this third one is just, you know, come on, you know.
Of all the movies to get excited for.
If I were less than a perfect human being, I might say the action in the second Blade movie is the best because I think that hand-to-hand combat's the best. But
yeah,
Blade Trinity's the best movie.
I couldn't describe a fight scene. Like Beale or Drew, you talked about Beale learning how to shoot an arrow. Like that's kind of what she does. She stands in a place and shoots arrows. Like her form is good. Is that a compliment?
I mean, it's not Hawkeye level.
Triple H by like, how do they kill Triple H? Like, it's like silver shavings in the air. No, that makes him like belch a fireball.
That's making belch a
fireball. I don't remember how.
I don't remember how he does either.
Here's the good thing I'll say. Two good things to say about Blade Trinity.
Right.
They throw a baby. Dracula throws a baby. David S. Goyer knows who I am. 17 years on, he knows that I like it when children are endangered in movies for truly no reason.
A real baby.
Yeah, I believe that. That sounds right.
Well, no, are you talking about Jessica Biel's baby in the subway? It was a fake baby. It said "fuck you."
I would have liked.
Child.
I don't know if anybody has seen The Cooler, but there's a moment in The Cooler when Alec Baldwin just full on punches a pregnant woman and then the stomach. Because he has figured out that she's not really pregnant and it's like a gambling scam. But in the moment, you're like, oh my God. And then he lands like a bunch of, I don't know, rags, whatever it is in the cooler. Mm-hmm. Good movie. Blade Trinity, bad movie. because they missed an opportunity to like stab the baby doll and then you realize it's fake. Real, if you're going to put that fake out in your movie, you're like, fucking commit to it.
Yeah.
Dracula chucks the baby is what I'm talking about. He like jump shots it to Blade when he's trying to get away on the rooftop.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And if you want to talk about this is a third good thing to say about Blade Trinity.
And Blade says "Kuchiku."
He does say that. And that's not what I'm talking about though. If you go back and watch that scene,
that was added by Wesley Snipes. I looked that up.
If you go back and watch that scene, there are five cuts of Blade jumping onto the ledge of a building and then jumping off. It's like 3 feet off the ground, if that. I would recommend going back to watch. It's hilarious.
But did you...
Second good thing, dogs fall to their death out of a skyscraper. Love that, too.
Three of them.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Unclear the fall to their death because we don't know how vampires...
Yeah, why would they die?
We don't know why they die.
I mean, I'm all bladed out after this.
No, you're not. Yeah, I found a tweet from you, and you can move the cult... Twitter account where you made an offhanded joke about the light bombs in Blade 2. So
yes.
You've obviously been thinking about those things.
Yes, that was a theorized directive from the President of the United States on how to get rid of COVID inside of lungs. And the obvious equivalent, he just watched Blade 2, I think, and saw like this is how you would do it. You would like swallow a flash, like a small light bulb, and it would flash. It would flash UV light, and then you have a light bulb inside of you. But hey, no COVID.
And Norman Reedus would show up with a fucking choker.
Yeah.
but John, you asked me. You know, you said how could I say that Jessica Biel shooting an arrow is good and all that stuff? Well,
her form is good.
When you look at the entire movie and you're trying to find a positive.
Yeah, you got to get
that's it. That's all I'm trying to be as positive as I can about it. And that's
thank you.
And these fight scenes are really the only thing that I can say that's positive about it. So,
yeah,
when compared to Blade 2 and compared to the first one, the fight scenes are not good. in Blade Trinity. But
I feel like Jessica Biel is the only one who showed up for this movie.
Yes, she did.
Everyone else, like, I love Jessica Biel. She like showed up in shape, ready to go, and was like, "Are you fucking? Are you serious right now?"
Her and Ryan Reynolds, I'm sure, thought like, "This is the next 5 years, 10 years of my life. I'm going to make Blade movies." And
like
then
Underworld.
Hold. I would imagine this all falls apart because of Snipes, who just didn't want to share. I imagine him as like a Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious. Like, no, I will not be on screen with The Rock anymore.
You're
because
incorrect.
He's bigger than I am.
That he didn't want to share screen time. He didn't want to share his money with the U.S. government because he went to jail after this.
Okay. Wasn't sure on the timeline there.
I'm pretty sure it was like right after Blade Trinity. Not so much here or here, but right here.
The last thing we said about Blade Trinity is Patton Oswalt, who is present for this movie. He's got pretty good anecdotes as far as the act of filming it. Wesley Snipes denies this, but apparently he was communicating with David S. Goyer through post-its that were signed Blade. Shane, I'll give you the last word on Blade, this movie in particular,
Blade
and the franchise. This movie in particular and the franchise.
It is a perfect popcorn movie. Of turning your brain off, you can laugh at it and with it, but mostly at it.
Hi, this is John. Here in Atlanta, we live, of course, in the city in a forest, and sometimes when it rains in that city in a forest, a tree will fall on a power line and the power will go out, as it did while we were recording Shane's final thoughts on Blade Trinity. The power shut off, and that was the end of our podcast recording. Shane proceeded to run 10 laps around the block because he was so jazzed up. It's still baffling to me, but I'm not going to rip on Blade Trinity. I said he could have the last word. He's got the last word. You can read reviews of the Blade Trilogy on MunichMovie.club. You can like us on Facebook at Munich Movie Club. Follow us on Twitter at Munich Movie Club and Instagram at Munich Movie Club. Our next trio of movies, we're going spoofs, and we're watching Galaxy Quest, Clue, and They Came Together. If you stay tuned to our feed, we're going to start posting our four Sopranos episodes that we're going to record in the weeks leading up to the release of The Many Saints of Newark in October. We're going to be talking about The Sopranos from a gang standpoint, from Tony's immediate family standpoint. Then we're going to talk about the weirder dreamscape psychological episodes of The Sopranos. And we couldn't pass up talking about the bad episodes of The Sopranos, or what are at least universally recognized as the bad episodes. Maybe they're good. Who knows? Haven't seen them in a long time. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your patronage, and we'll see you next time.